Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I again welcome you to church today, and it's so nice to be together. Thank you, Mary, for sharing your story with us. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be hearing from some of the different key players, I guess, at the birth of Christ. We also want to remember that Christmas is about Christ, and that's what we celebrate, is the birth of a Savior. So we want to be able to share this story with you this year. Next Sunday, and I think Rob mentioned this, but I'm going to mention it again, we will be having our annual congregational meeting following the worship service. Where's Will? I need to turn down a little bit, I think. I think I got an echo. You know how to do it, Eric? Okay. Thanks, Will. Sorry, I just felt like I got an echo up here or something. But anyway, next Sunday, plan on sticking around for this. This is it's always an important meeting. It's the business of the church. It's election of officers, discussing things that might be facing the church. So plan on sticking around to be following our worship service as we would have that time together. I noticed something this morning. We always get excited this time of year, and I'm already receiving phone calls about when is the church doing the live nativity. And the live nativity is coming up in just a couple of weeks here. But I've got to ask, how many new parents, young parents, do we have here today that have little babies? How many parents have little, teeny tiny infant, you know, little size? You know, Eli counts too. Raise your hand. Well, see, I was thinking we could really, really do this whole nativity thing right if one of you parents would give up your child and let us wrap them up. We'll try to wrap them warm and put them in the manger and set them outside for the scene, you know, and the crying would just add to the whole. Any volunteers? Think about it. I've been trying for years. I can't get anybody to do that. I don't know why. You know, sometimes just weird things happen, and I'm going to get into the message here in a minute, but I got to tell you, I was sitting in my office the other day working on the sermon. And as I'm sitting in my office, and this isn't the message, folks, it really isn't. As I'm sitting in my office, I started hearing Amazing Grace. Have you ever done that? You ever just, a song, you start hearing it? And that's one of my favorite songs, and I think as I'm ushered into the gates of heaven, that's what's going to be sung. And I'm sitting in my office, and I keep hearing Amazing Grace. And it's kind of bells or whistles or horns or whatever, but these bells, this beautiful, beautiful sound. And I think, wait a minute, my radio's not turned on. There must be somebody in the church. So I got up and I kind of walked around the church a little bit. I walked out into the narthex and it stopped. Okay. Weird things like that happen to me. So I went back and I sat down in my office and I'm working along. And a little bit later, here I hear it again. Amazing Grace, this beautiful sound. And it's wonderful. And I'm like, where is that? So again, I get up out of my chair and I walk out into the church and it stops. And this time I look a little more. I bet there's somebody in the bathroom playing a prank on me. There was nobody in the bathroom. Now I'm just beginning to get a little bit concerned, and I went back in and sat down at my office, and this happened a couple of more times. And wow. Well, here's what happened. Talisa, raise your hand, Talisa. Talisa took a clock that has an alarm on it that plays on the hour Amazing Grace. And I was hearing this. It wasn't until I had a meeting back in the back room that I realized what was going on and where the music was coming from. But it was interesting time, so I had to share that. But thanks, T. Folks, who do teenagers look up to the most? If you were asked that question, how would you respond to it? Who do teenagers look up to the most? Parents, I want you to know something. According to what I've seen online and surveys that I've read on the internet, parents, you're at the top of the list. You're the ones that the teenagers look up to the most. You are their biggest role model. Now, if you were to ask your kids this, if you were to say, am I your role model? They'd probably say, no. That's just the way young people are. They're not going to admit it. But they also have other role models that they look at. And not all of these role models are so good. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of role models that we wish weren't. By their actions, a lot of time young people seem to follow these other role models. Because they're concerned with popularity, they're concerned with looks, they're concerned with having cool stuff, wearing, you know, the most modern in clothes, or having a certain talent. And even though all of those things and all of those role models that seem to have all of that stuff change year to year, people don't always pick up on it. And the person who is really cool today and is great and wonderful, and we can see it in the media all the time, the one that we looked up to last year is really nobody today. Someone younger, someone prettier, someone more talented comes along, and that's the next role model. Other than their parents, I wonder why our children's role models can't be just an ordinary person. Think about that. Somebody that is extraordinary, not because of who they are or what they have or what is seen on the outside, but because of who they are on the inside. Wouldn't it be neat if those were the role models we looked at? Ironically, the most popular woman who ever lived, thank you, is rarely looked upon as a role model. She wasn't wealthy. She was probably not very beautiful, just an ordinary looking woman. She was probably not well educated. She might even have been illiterate. She was really unknown outside her hometown during most of her lifetime. Yet she had an inner beauty that even impressed God. Her inner beauty was so powerful that she was chosen to become the mother of the most important person of all time, God's own Son, Jesus. And of course, we're talking about Mary and that inner beauty, or the inner beauty that impressed God. Folks, that should impress us as a role model. It's okay for us to look and say, there's something about Mary that, oh, that's a movie, never mind. There's something about Mary that was very special. There's something that God saw in her. When the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary, he told her that she was highly favored. Another translation puts it, she was God's favored one. Mary was favored not just because of what she was or what she was about to do. She was favored because she was about to become the mother of Jesus. She was favored because of the life she had already lived up to that point. And we really don't know anything about Mary's life before this event. It was a short time. Folks don't realize Mary was only probably 13, 14 years old. And we look at that, and today we say, oh my goodness. But you also have to understand that the average life expectancy at that time was less than 40. Mary was a young girl. But she must have already exhibited extraordinary faith in God because God chose her to be the mother of his son. And what I want us to notice today is that God's favor came to Mary, even though she came from very modest, if not, it might even have been a poor family. God chose her even though she grew up in a remote region of the world in a tiny little village called Nazareth with only a few hundred people. God favored Mary because of the inner beauty of her faith and her obedience. God's favor is upon those who exhibit faith and obedience. Listen. If you don't live that, if you're here today and you're not living that life of faith and obedience, you're probably not going to like this message. Because we're going to find out today what's important to God and what he looks at and how he chooses people and how he uses people. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter whether you're a child, whether you're a teen or an elderly person. Mary was a teen and God used her. But in the Old Testament, we see Abraham and he was in his 70s when God called him. It doesn't matter where you come from. You may come from the country or the city or the suburbs. It doesn't matter. And it doesn't matter how smart you are or what your family life is. It doesn't matter how much money you make. Looks, they don't matter either. The prophecies about Jesus said that he would be rather plain looking. But God looks deeper than all of that. God looks at our faith. So what is faith? Well, I want to make it real simple for you this morning. Real simple. Faith is believing that what God says will happen. After the angel visited Mary and told her that she would bear God's son, she went to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who herself was pregnant with a boy, and the boy would become John the Baptist. And you remember the Bible stories, John the Baptist went and he foretold of the coming Messiah, that the Christ would be coming. But listen to Elizabeth's response during Mary's visit with her. Elizabeth said, and this is in Luke 1:45, said, "Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." That's faith. Faith is believing that what the Lord said will be accomplished, or that the Lord will do what he said he would do. We have to remember that the angel Gabriel told her something which was totally impossible. First, Gabriel tells Mary that she would have a son who would be named Jesus. Mary had not been with Joseph. She hadn't been with any man yet. She was a virgin. So how could she have a child? The second possibility was that this would be the Son of the Most High, the Son of God. And how could a human woman bear God's Son, a divine being? These things are impossible. And that was Mary's question to Gabriel. And Gabriel told her that the Holy Spirit would come upon her and the power of the Most High would overshadow her. There's not a lot of details given here. And then Gabriel reminds us, with God, now listen, folks, with God, nothing is impossible. What is impossible with God? Nothing. Oh, some of you are awake. What is impossible with God?
Nothing.
Okay, we got to realize that. And we don't live that. We don't act like we believe that. We go around, we might say it, but we don't really show it. What is impossible with God? That thing you're facing today that you're struggling with here at Christmas time and trying to get through just another season, what is impossible with God? So can God help you through that? Yes, he can. Whatever you're doing, whatever the struggle, whatever the problem, if it's relational, if it's financial, whatever it is, God says, I can take care of that for you because nothing is impossible with God. I get excited about that. And I believe that there's nothing God can't do. And Mary believed. And her answer to Gabriel was, I am the Lord's servant. May it be as he has said. Wow. That's quite an announcement. Mary, you're going to have a baby, huh? Oh, no, Mary, it gets better than that. You're going to have a baby and it's going to be the Son of God. What? Okay. This is impossible. It can't happen. But anything is possible with God, and nothing is impossible. And she says, okay. God told Mary that he was going to do the impossible, and Mary believed. And she had faith, and she trusted that God would make her conceive a child even before she saw the evidence of her pregnancy. The author of the book of Hebrews define faith in a similar manner. In Hebrews 11:1, it says, what is faith? It is the confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. It is the evidence of things we cannot yet see. God gave his approval to people in the days of old because of their faith. Hebrews 11:6, it says, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. God gave his favor or approval to those who have faith. People like Mary, who were sure and certain of God's promise, even if they didn't see it, notice that it says it is impossible to please God without faith. And God continues to give his favor to those who have faith and trust in God's promises today. He continues to bless. And folks, we go through tough times. We go through struggles. We go through issues in life. But God is there, and he promises to take us through it and to help us with those things we don't understand. There's promises like what we see in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work for good. And we know that all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. God works good things in your life if you will allow him to work good things in your life. If you reject him and you ignore him and you turn your back on him, that's what you're going to receive, is really nothing, because you're not willing. But he promises good things to those who love him. Listen, do you believe God works everything for your good if you love him and follow his calling, even when things in your life seem to be going poorly? Do you believe? Sometimes I have to get louder. Do you believe that God works everything for your good if you love him and follow his calling, even when things in your life seem to be going poorly? Now I believe you. It says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Do you believe God loves you and sent his Son to give you eternal life? Yes. Thank you. Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Do you believe God raised Jesus from the dead and will one day raise your soul to be with him? You guys are awake today. You're getting there. Good. Romans 3:24. Yet now God in his gracious kindness declares us not guilty. He has done this through Jesus Christ, who has freed us by taking away our sins. For God sent Jesus to take the punishment of our sins and to satisfy God's anger against us. We are made right with God when we believe that Jesus shed his blood, sacrificing his life for us. Do you believe God has forgiven you through Jesus Christ? Yes. Isn't Christmas wonderful? Because if you believe these things, You know what we're celebrating. If you believe these things, you can take your eye off the lights. You can take your eyes off the commercials and the advertisements and everybody trying to convince you, you got to have this and you got to do this and you got to go to this party and all of these different kinds of things. And you realize that I only have to focus my eyes on one individual, on one person, and that is God. That is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's all I have to look at, because that's what Christmas is about. Folks, it's that simple. And Mary said, anything is possible with God, and I will have this child. You know what? When Jesus was born, what do you think Mary looked at? The dirty old stable with the animal manure all over the place, the animals looking in. Straw to lay on, damp and cold. What did she look at? She looked at that little baby, the Son of God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And we must believe that what God has said, He will do. But faith is more than believing something to be true in my mind. Faith must also impact how I live my life. My actions should reflect what I believe. Faith is active. I must do things differently and behave differently because I believe that what God said is true. Now listen, I can believe that 2 plus 2 equals 4. I can believe that George Washington was the first president of the United States because those things are true, but this kind of faith doesn't change my life. If I believe in my heart that something is true, I have faith. But to believe something is true in your head and to act as though it is true are two different things. And faith incorporates both of these. When the angel told Mary that she would miraculously bear a child from the Holy Spirit, not only did she believe it would happen, but she also adjusted her life with God's. She responded with a willingness to do whatever God wanted her to do. Did you hear that? She responded with a willingness to do whatever God wanted her to do. And in this case, she accepted the immense responsibility of bearing the Christ child and raising him in the ways of the Lord. Mary's response, I am the Lord's servant, may it be as you have said to me. Mary didn't just believe the impossible would happen, that she would be pregnant by the Holy Spirit. She was willing to be a vessel by which God would accomplish His divine plan, folks. Consider, if you will, the ramifications of Mary's response. Think about it. Her willingness to serve the Lord and the ramifications of that. Mary was trusting that her soon-to-be husband, Joseph, would believe her story of the visitation of an angel. Now, before I go on, I want to explain something because people get lost in this. At the time of Christ, when a man would ask a woman to marry him, and she would say yes, they would have a period of 1 year before they were actually brought together ceremonially for the wedding service itself. But during that year, that woman was considered that man's wife. And she had to maintain a certain way of living. She had to maintain herself in a pure fashion. A husband and wife could not come together. And so Joseph, hearing this, he knows that he's not been with Mary. And he had some options. But they talk about that betrothal period. That's the time where the man asks the woman to marry him. She says yes. And they know that now they must wait a year before everything can be accomplished. And Mary was trusting that Joseph would believe that an angel spoke to her, and that he would believe of the miraculous pregnancy. Listen, she was trusting that Joseph would not seek a divorce, which in that betrothal period, he could do that. And that would force her then to raise a child on her own in a society in which illegitimate children were looked at with particular disfavor. And they weren't usually cared for. Even worse, according to Jewish law, Joseph could have had Mary stoned to death at the city gates, and thus killing her and Christ. Fortunately, though, the Roman law would forbid that, because only death could be at the Romans' hands. Mary was willing to be the gossip of the town because she was pregnant before marriage. Either she would have been ridiculed for being with Joseph in their betrothal period, or if Joseph divorced her, she would have been compared with a prostitute because it meant she had an affair during her betrothal to Joseph. Imagine the gossip in the sleepy little town of Nazareth where everybody knew everybody. And you know, even today, if there's one thing I know about people, we like to gossip. Not supposed to, but we like to gossip. And it was no different at the time of Christ. No matter what way you look at it, it was going to be tough for Mary. But because of her faith in God, that He would work it out, she was willing to put her faith in action. What kind of faith is it if we believe in God? I believe Jesus was God's Son, born of the Virgin Mary. I believe Jesus spoke the truth, that He died and rose from the dead so that I can be forgiven. What if I believe God has promises of giving me abundant life and eternal life? But then instead of living my life that way, believing that, I live my life like an unbeliever, ignoring the way of God and the way that God's commanded me to live. Folks, that is not faith. Faith implies a willingness to follow God. Way back in the 1800s, there was a tightrope walker. And he decided that he was going to do a great feat, and he was going to stretch a tightrope over Niagara Falls, and he's going to walk across that tightrope. He was successful at that. And all the people cheered, and all the people talked about how great he was, but over time, they lost interest. And so he had to find something more difficult to get their interest. So he again stretched the rope, and he wanted to have the attention of the crowds. Only this time, when he walked across, he decided that he would push a wheelbarrow across Niagara Falls on a tightrope. Something that would be more impressive to the people. And he did so. And he was successful. And when he got to the other side after walking across with that wheelbarrow on the tightrope, there was a crowd there and they were excited and talking about how wonderful he was and how great he was. And he looked at someone in the crowd and he says, "Do you believe I can go across this rope pushing a wheelbarrow?" They'd just seen it. The observer looked at him and agreed, "Well, sure you can." To which the tightrope walker invited the man to get in the wheelbarrow. Listen, folks, faith is more than just believing in our head. Faith involves our actions. Will we live our life differently because of what we believe? Will I change my priorities so they are in line with God's? Am I willing to allow God to change my character to be like His? God's character is honesty, it's integrity, not using filthy language and all the stuff that goes with it. Will I prioritize my time and money the way that God wants me to? Will I love God and others by treating those around me like Jesus would want them treated? And this includes my spouse and children, my co-workers, my neighbor. Being a willing servant, folks, it may mean sacrifice. James writes this in his letter in the Bible, James 2:14. He says, "What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. And if one of you says to him, 'Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead." Our faith needs to reflect our head. Our faith needs to reflect our heart and our hands. Our head, what we believe about God and about Jesus. Our heart, we should have compassion for others, and we should love others, including our enemies. And our hands, what we do. Now here's a question. And when I ask you this question, don't answer this one out loud, because this could get embarrassing really fast. But I want you to answer it from your heart. Would you say that you have faith like Mary, who was willing to believe the impossible and step out and trust God? Would you say you have that kind of faith? If not, folks, why not? Are you willing to go wherever God asks you to go? Are you willing to take ridicule for being a follower of Christ? Because let me tell you, folks, you do get ridiculed. Are we willing to bring dishonor upon ourselves for doing the right thing? In America today, if we stand up and do the right thing and proclaim what God wants us to proclaim and live the life that God wants us to live, people will heap dishonor on you because they don't want to hear it. Final question you have to answer: is your faith in your head, in your heart, and in your hands? It was with Mary, and she brought Jesus into the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we think of you and talk about you, you are truly our role model. We need to spend our life, Lord, looking at you and learning from you and learning to say, "Your will be done in our lives." We need to have that faith that says that our head and our heart and our hands, our thoughts and actions and deeds, Father, they're all going to be controlled by you because we believe you. Father, we thank you for the faith of Mary, that was willing to say, God's will be done. Father, we're thankful for Jesus, who is willing to come and to live, to die, and to rise again just for us. Lord, now I just want to lift this to you, and if there are those here whose faith is weak, maybe even they're really struggling with their faith right now, would you just touch their heart? Would you just let them know that you're here? And Father, help them to find brothers and sisters in Christ who are here to lift them up and encourage them as we would be lifted up in you. Lord, we just give all of this to you in Jesus' name. Amen.